You're now listening to Pete, Matt and Kimber for Vinny's Christmas Appeal, where good works.
You know, guys, when kids have to go to school, they've got to start coming up with some good content for show and tell.
Mm. Oh, yes. Do they what? Yes. Mila's going through that at the moment.
Yeah, and yeah. I know that over the holidays, you want to take your kids to cool stuff so that when they go back after the holidays, they say, my parents are the best. They took me everywhere. They want to get involved.
Mm.
But think of this little kid, Peyton, who is now, I think, my spirit animal. I love this kid. Mm. She basically is so in love with her goldfish. Okay. Well, it's not a goldfish. He's sort of one of these sort of, I don't know how to describe him, but he's got a few more fins going on. You know, one of those sweet ones. Those
an axolotl.
No,
an axolotl is like a blind.
That Mexican walking fish or something? Right,
sweet-looking fish.
Okay.
And she took it to school in her sippy cup.
Oh, okay.
It's great. So this guy has shared these texts online because he said him and his partner are thinking about having a child.
Yeah.
And his cousin sent him these texts to tell him this is what raising a child is like.
Mm.
And he just said, I'm dead. This is the most funny stuff I've ever heard, because the parents just got a call from the school to say, hey, look, I don't know if you know, but Peyton seems to have smuggled her fish to school in her sippy cup. And the only reason they worked it out is because she was drinking from the cup because forgot the fish was in there.
Yeah.
Apparently she just scooped the fish out of the tank, put it in a sippy cup and trotted off to school. And then at lunchtime, at snack time, she was drinking it and the teacher noticed. And so the fish is still alive.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God.
And the fish made it home because the teacher obviously said, you got to stop drinking from that sippy cup now. That's bad news, but it's the best. And then the mum, because the cousin was like, I don't believe this. When the mum picked her up from school, took a photo of her holding her drink bottle with her fish floating around in the bottom. So it's one of there's a little picture of the fish.
I see what you mean.
I don't know what fishes they are. They got so sweet little flowing tails.
Oh,
they look like they're wearing organza dresses.
They do.
They're beautiful.
Like a Taylor Swift film clip.
But I love that, like, I mean, kids are so weird. They're weird. Like, what's something? Have you ever taken something to school with a kid that was strange?
Well, I mean, as I mentioned, like, we're going through this stuff with Mila, and like, it's generally a mad rush on a Sunday evening when we remember that she's got show and tell on a Monday. But for me, I remember taking a crazy crap.
Oh, yeah.
You remember when we used to have crazy craps?
I loved crazy craps.
Yeah, and then we lost it.
So, at the school?
Yeah, at the school, because he was with, I did him show and tell first thing in the morning, and then like, I had a little jar that he was in that I'd put some of the sand and some of the rocks and stuff in from the little tank that I had.
Mm.
And then he came with me everywhere, and we were out in the playground at lunchtime, and I don't know where we just lost him. He just went. Wow. So he's out there somewhere. I don't know.
Oh. I mean,
he's coming back. I'm sure he's coming back.
Let's just say he's out there somewhere.
He's out there somewhere.
Ellie in Frio, what did your kid take to school?
Well, my daughter Jazzy had pet chook, and she had a little egg business, and she used to sell the eggs to the teachers at school. And she asked me one day if she could take two chooks to school, and I didn't think there'd be anything wrong with that. So,
of course you didn't.
We put them in the box, and I dropped off at school, and I was going to pick them up at, you know, morning recess. And I'd only just got to work, and I get a phone call from the teacher saying that they'd got out of the box, that all the kids were screaming, some were up on the tables, and everyone was too terrified to get the chooks. Jazzy was trying to catch the chooks, but because, you know, they were all flustered and walking
and
because of all the kids, I had to go and rescue these poor chooks.
Right. Thanks for your call, Ellie. And I remember you too, you and your daughter Jazz. They came to events many times.
Oh, very
lovely.
Nice.
Lovely. Hear from you again. Sarah.
In Wandi, hello.
Hi, good morning, gang. How are you going?
Good. What did your kid take to school?
It was actually back in 2003, I was working at a school in South Africa in the office, and one of our year two teachers came into the office with a broad grin on her face with a bundle full of US dollars. One of the children's big sister was traveling overseas, and she thought it'd be fun to bring all the money to show her friends. There was about $3,000.
That'll do well at the tuck shop.
You know, it probably looks like Monopoly money to them. Like, how fun.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Wow.
$3,000.
Give me all your lunch money. Wow. Hey, Melissa in Whitby, hello.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good, mate. What happened?
So my son's school brought in a rule where kids couldn't bring in their own chocolate.
Yes. How dare school. They?
Yeah, so I thought it would be a good idea to...
Oh, hang on. Oh. We got you?
We lost you, mate.
Oh, no. A good idea to... And that was the best part of the story. Oh, Melissa, you're gone. Oh,
we'll try and get it back.
We'll try and get it back. All right.
Emma and Coogee, what did your kid take to school?
Well, it wasn't my kid. I've been a teacher for many years, so I've got lots of examples. But I remember a couple of years ago, it was afternoon news on a really hot day.
Yep.
And this child had obviously forgot his news. On the way to school in the morning, he'd found a dead bird, wrapped it in his jumper and left it in his school bag all day, and then was really proud to bring it out at 3:30 to show the class. It was horrific.
Oh, yuck. And you didn't even know what was coming, obviously. He's just stood
no
up.
No idea. No, and he was so proud of himself that he had news. But after being in the bag all day, it wasn't a pretty sight.
No, but that is on-the-scene reporting, isn't it? I mean, Channel 7 would be bloody proud of that. We're cutting live down to Mia Edgerton and Warburton with the dead pigeon.
Now, Melissa and Whitby, you were telling us that the school has a policy that the kids can't take chocolate to school, which I'm disgraced by. But what happened?
So my son decided that he was going to break the rules and put the Smarties up his nose and take them to school. And then, of course, being summer, first class in, he starts bleeding from his nose and the teacher can't figure out why there's blood coming out with brown stuff. And the shells of the Smarties had actually broken and cut all the lining of his nose. So he ended up in emergency where we had to try and get the Smarties out of his nose.
Melissa, your surname's not Escobar by any chance, is it?
Being the final week of the year, this is the time, as we did yesterday with you, Kimber, that our dear producers, Jeans and Joggers, have decided to take their hands off the wheel and this time hand it over to Maddie.
I want to talk about those glorious sporting moments that mere mortals like me have had that no one else cares about, but that were pivotal moments in my life.
Do I need to stay or? No, I'm joking. Of course I want to stay. There's nothing I would love to hear more than the two of you banging on about the time you did something in under 10 soccer.
Yes, and not only can you stay and listen, but can you look at me lovingly as I tell you the story? That's all I ask for.
Well, I'm sure I will, because when I hear your sporting prowess, I know that I'm going to be enamoured by it.
Now, look, from the age of about 5 till the age that I'm too embarrassed to say because it was way too old to be doing this.
No, come on, tell
us. You could often find me out in the backyard kicking a ball and commentating myself.
And Perry kicks. He picks it up. Go yourself. Go yourself is the roar from the crowd. Heslop, Heslop, Heslop. Woo! How can a man be so strong and so fast? Heslop.
Perry, wake up to yourself.
The late, great Bill Hunter there from Muriel's Wedding, yelling at his son.
Brilliant.
Commentating those moments. Now, look, sport. We mere mortals have had these moments in sport. And I'm going to tell you two quick stories, and then I want your calls about these sporting moments that you've had that changed your life but that no one else cares about. They're two. One story is about victory, and one is about, you know, grabbing victory from the jaws of defeat. The first story is my brother, who scored the winning goal in the soccer final. Now, the way he scored that goal was that the opponent was trying to kick the ball 100 metres away from his goal, but my brother's face got in the way. And the ball smashed him in the face and went into the net, and they won the game final, right?
Brilliant.
So he's completely oblivious and a little bit concussed, but has won the grand final.
Nice.
So that's a great story to dine out on. Mine was through a defeat, but it was Cannington High against Hollywood High School, and it was the volleyball grand final.
I mean, what chance do you think you have against Hollywood Senior High?
You know what? And you're right. And I don't think I even really knew where Hollywood High School was, but I knew they must be rich.
Right? Because they're from Hollywood.
We had to beat them. We had to.
Like Nedlands, if you don't know.
And of course, like life, we tried hard, but we got defeated by the wealthier people. But I remember this moment so clearly, and this is so pathetic, okay, is that I at one point dove and bumped the ball up in the air and saved the point. And Mr. Scott, who was our phys ed teacher, g'day Scotty, if you're out there, I wanted him to like me. And I remember, and it's weird the stuff, the small stuff that is seared into your memory. I looked up and he looked at me and he gave me this nod like, yeah, Matt, you know, the team needs you to motivate, to keep going, to dive and save these points. And that little interchange of milliseconds has stuck with me, my chest filled with pride. The next minute I'm walking around, you know, turning into Leighton and he would go, come on, guys, we can do this.
Oh,
and
wow.
I became the general, you know.
He's a bit like, I'm not your dad, Matt, but right now, I wish I was.
Yes, that kind of thing. Now, I know we lost, but from that moment on, I realised that I wasn't the world's best sports person, but I was a motivator.
Yeah.
And that idea of the general that walks around and doesn't really do much has kept middle-aged people playing sport thinking that they still had something to offer.
Did you guys know this? He was Matt the Motivator Dictinsky. Has he been motivating you for long?
I can't say this year I can think of a time, but anyway.
But, you know, that I dine out on that.
Admittedly, so. different scenario, Kim. We're in a studio, not on a sporting pitch.
You know what's funny about this, though, Matt, is the other day when we were talking about the $80 million lotto win,
yes.
And I said to you guys, God, I mean, I can't even think. Like, what was the biggest thing you've ever won?
Yes.
And Pete, without even a second to think, launched straight into his best sporting moment of all time. And I was like, mate, that wasn't quite what I was referencing. I was talking about like what you've won in a comp.
Part of the summer season of indoor soccer at Fitzpatrick's in Maddington.
Oh, yeah, big competition.
Big competition, huge competition. Yeah. And we were against our rivals. Like pretty much every time we had a season, it was us against them sort of in the finals. But this time it was semi-finals to make the grand final.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always in defense. They called me the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And it was not because I was strong or anything. It was because I rarely moved while I was out in the court.
The general.
The general. Exactly. Come on, boys. We can do this. But this day, I found myself up near the goals.
Mm.
The goalie, our goalie, kicked it past the halfway line. And down it came. And for some reason, I just blacked out and something took over me. Pele or something like that.
It was Ronaldo.
And it came down on my chest.
Yes.
And in one swoop, off the volley, onto my chest, down onto the foot back of the net. And you should have seen the place go absolutely wild.
In one sweep.
In one sweep. Didn't touch the ground, Kimber. No. Oh, God. I got goosebumps. You guys got goosebumps? I got goosebumps.
And, you know, I can visualize it. I know exactly what that goal looked like.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, please share your glorious sporting moment that nobody cares about, Brenda in Brookdale.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Great. Good.
Okay, vision this, 17 and pregnant. So
okay.
I played basketball until I was 5 months, but we qualified for the grand finals. Went in, had my kids, spat her out. But the night after I had her was our grand finals. So I had the team come in, asked me to play. So I signed myself out of hospital, went and played this grand final.
No.
I scored the winning 2 points. But that, freaking hell, that night, I ended up back in hospital, split stitches. You can just imagine the pain I was in. But nobody come and visited me after that. They come and visited me before the finals, but after the finals, I didn't give them two
Brenda, was it worth it?
It was for me, but not with the pain that I was in, man. It was horrible.
I mean, who would have thunk it, Brenda? Having a baby and then going straight out to a basketball game was a bit too demanding on your body.
Right. Yeah, never would have thought. Michael's in Naranda. Michael, go on, the glorious story that no one else cares about.
It's not no one cares about, no one knows about.
Oh.
Oh, share, please.
So what happened was I was actually getting back into soccer, about 24 years old.
Yep.
Going down to the local pub, they got a soccer team, at a good old Caulfield Tavern, and I start training and I go, right, we can put you up for half the game on Sunday. Right, but you'll go in the second half.
Okay.
We're playing Stirling. So I go to Stirling, roll up there, ready to go. Half time comes along. On I go. Before I run on the field, the coach writes on my hand. Your name is Wally Maitland. If the referee asks you, your name is Wally Maitland.
Okay.
Now, we had a fake player registered for people that could just come on and off.
Okay.
So, the score, 0-0, half time. I scored 4 goals.
Ooh.
Now, the next day in the paper was Wally scores 4 against Stirling.
Where's Wally?
So no one ever knew.
Now they know, Michael. Now they know.
Oh, God. That's glorious.
Beautiful.
Hey, we're heading over to the US where the Christmas trees are big in the big mansions. Guys, you can catch all of the drama, Christmas drama, from The Real Housewives of the North Pole, streaming exclusively on HeyU on December 10th. This morning, we've got a special guest, especially for those of you listening that are trying to get your house decorated for Christmas. He's Bob Pranger, and he's Dr. Christmas, and he joins us now. Good morning to you live all the way from the US, Dr. Christmas.
Well, good morning. I heard a little laugh when you said my name. I heard it.
Well, I'm just wondering if you're one of those people that if you're on a plane and the pilot goes, ladies and gentlemen, do we have a doctor on board? Do you put your hand up?
I know. Somebody else did that for me once. I said, no.
Not that kind of doctor.
Well, you know, I mean, you have been doing some celebrity Christmas trees and some pretty amazing Christmas decorations because you do think the tree is the main event. Whose houses have you been decorating?
Well, this week we just finished doing Mark Wahlberg, and we've also done Christina Applegate and Kevin Hart, and that's what's happened so far. Oh, and Ben Affleck, we did his last week. I sound like a name dropper. Those are just a few, but they're lovely people, and you know, here in LA, that's kind of the daily norm.
Well, yeah, we were just saying yesterday, if we had the money, we would have everybody doing everything for us. We wouldn't do any home
things
ourselves.
Trust me, if I had the money, I'd hire me.
Now, the tree. Now, I noticed you say in one of your tips, and I've already made this rookie mistake, you arrange the furniture first, right?
Yes, that's like one of my number one things that people have a tendency to get back. Tree and they're walking in, they're like, well, where do you want it? Then where do you want it? Move the sofa, move the TV. By that time, everyone's lost the spirit.
Yes, exactly.
Dr. Christmas, I've set myself a task this year to Christmas up my house as much as possible. So I'm currently going through the process of putting all my lights on my roof, and I reckon I'm about $500 in the hole at the moment. Now, on a scale of one to poor, versus somebody like a Ben Affleck or Christina Applegate, I mean, how much are these people spending on doing on up their houses?
Well, you know, the way I do business generally is that, to give you a general idea, I don't take most jobs until they start around $5,000 to $10,000to do a Christmas tree and an installation. But it's generally not just the Christmas tree. You know, you do the house and things like that. So it really comes down to what you feel comfortable spending. And if you're only in it for $500, well, I'd probably be really nice to you, but I'd have to decline.
I'm sure. I could get you the star for the top of your tree for that. For $5,000 to $10,000 for a tree, what kind of tree are they getting for that?
Well, generally, you know, out here, the houses tend to be very large, at least for the customers I work in. So you work on an average 10 to 15-foot tree on a regular basis. The bulk of the cost is the tree. And then from that point on, it's the sky's the limit. What do you want? Do you want crystal or do you want plastic? I don't really use plastic, but do you want crystal?
Do you want crystal or crystal?
Do you want crystal or crystal, yeah.
Do you want gold or silver? Silver or gold? Platinum or gold, you know?
Yeah, we didn't know it was actual gold. We've just been putting up gold decorations. But what about when you want to put the tree away? Like, I had a friend who said to me just a couple of days ago that she just puts a massive garbage bag over her tree and just puts it in the storage. I simply don't have the space for that. Do these people, are they keeping their trees or are you taking them away?
Well, you know, generally, the old days, they used to own everything. But nowadays, people don't want to own anything. It's been a big shift in the last 10 years that people like to rent. They like to treat Christmas a little bit like a film set. So we come in, bring everything, work with them what they want it to look like, come back and take it all away.
And Bob, tell us, who is the most Christmassy celebrity you've ever come across?
The most Christmassy celebrity. Well, you know, we did decorate for the Queen herself, Miss Mariah Carey.
Say no more, Bob.
Did you have to decorate just Mariah, or did you do the tree too?
Well, when you work for royalty, you have to do what royalty requests.
Of course. Right. Hey, Dr. Christmas, it's been really nice chatting to you this morning, mate. We appreciate your time, and you can catch The Doctor and all of the drama from The Real Housewives of the North Pole streaming exclusively on HeyU on December 10th. Good on you, mate, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, and watch the movie. I have lots of friends in it. Enjoy it.
Thanks
Bob.
For your time.
Thank you.
Ina, you thought that news only happened in the Big Smoke. Well, let's cross to Michelle Anderson for news from the Nether Regions.
Oh, what a pleasure.
Hello.
But also bittersweet as we do this for the final time.
No.
The Dusty Duchess.
I'm emotional.
Darling of the Regions.
the Regions.
Queen of Kalgoorlie.
Oh.
I don't know.
I'm not going
one.
On that.
We got in trouble last week. We were doing too much rhyming.
Too
and
many
it got.
Of them.
It wasn't Dr. Zeus. It was going down another track.
The Jezebel.
Of Jindabyne. Jandakot.
Well, you will be, actually, because you're coming out of the regions and into the city, into the Big Smoke.
I am. I got a taste of it here first, guys, and that's what's happening. This is my last one, as you said.
Well, congratulations, and we wish you well. Yeah. And that's the last time we'll speak to you.
I'm over at the opposition now, so... Yeah.
We'll see you upstairs. Do you want us to still say hi as if we're friends?
Absolutely.
Or? Okay.
I've told everyone that I befriended all of level one. I'm going to befriend all of level two and eventually take over.
Okay,
great. But now, from now on, rather than going, hi, Michelle, it's going to be, g'day, mate, how are you?
Yeah, not bad, guys. Fun at Triple. What are you up to? But I'm doing all sorts of stuff. I can't stop.
God,
busy.
What have you got for another region?
Mate, well, funnily enough that I be talking like that, let me reel it back because I've gone classy for my last one. It's all about the arts.
Oh.
It's all about the arts. Now, you mentioned Kalgoorlie. Now, there's this fabulous thing, and it's hard to read through tears, guys, and I haven't researched. But... there's a new project and they're collating all the public art in Kalgoorlie Boulder into one free online map for visitors and locals to explore. So you can pick up an online map and just tour around and see all the different, you know, murals, things, bits and pieces, which is a great idea. And it's just going to get added to as they go along.
I feel like this could be really putting a hole in the tourism of Kalgoorlie. I mean, if we don't have to go there and we can see everything
online. No, you just get the map, babe. You don't you got to walk the walk.
Okay,
you can't just be exactly. All right. So I won't ruin them. You're fine. And also just on a side note, it was the St. Barbara Festival just this weekend gone, which is all things mining and everything.
As many Barbaras as you can get in a room.
Oh.
There was a parade.
A collection of Barbaras.
St. Barbara. My mum's a Barbara.
Is
bless
she?
Her heart. But Babs, yeah. But St. Barbara is the patron saint of artillerymen and miners. So she's looking after them. And I'll stop it there because I don't know anything more about religion or any of that stuff.
Men and miners.
I was going to ask why, but
I won't. The same.
Yeah, sure.
You know, same sort of deal, both using explosives and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it comes
from.
Yeah, nice.
That's so wrong. And just this is sad news. I bring you another sculpture that's come to its own demise. Geraldton, the Horizon Ball. It was, I don't know if you know it, it's filled with water. It's fabulous. And it inverts all the, you know, all the pictures of the actual shoreline and the sunset and everything.
Bit of public art.
It was cracked and now it's fully exploded. We're reviewing CCTV. And when I say we, I mean the police, not me.
Yeah.
But if I'm allowed to be involved, I'll be there. So I love that thing.
They think vandals.
$80,000. Well, vandals to start with, but it could have just tempered the structure a little. And now we're just looking at the sun and natural elements. So... I leave you with that mystery, guys.
Oh, it feels like the regions have lost something, and as are we losing something.
Oh, look, I'll just be upstairs.
Did you enjoy talking about art? Because you'll never talk about art again upstairs.
No, that's not
the
footy. Oh,
that's not
true.
Oh, you're
right.
You know what Fremantle did in that third quarter? That was art.
That was art.
That was art.
Yeah, have another meat pie.
They said it'd only be a third sport, guys. They better have lied to me.
Third sport.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute
footy,
pleasure, and you'll be missed.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I've had a ball, and I know we've talked too long because I'm seeing people go,
could you just shut up? We didn't start to
wind you up.
Can we just have a quiet prayer to St. Barbara and say Merry Christmas and wish you well?
I know that what's happening in Michelle's head right now is desperately hoping that one of you are doing the prayers because she doesn't know what to say.
I only know the Lord's Prayer because of Metallica, so.
Here's your leather jacket, and off you go.
Bye.
Bye. Love
you. Thank you.
Now, first of all, I have one thing to say. I'm out.
Out of what?
Whamageddon.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're out.
I heard it.
You're done.
Oh,
I heard
Maddie.
The game, of course, if you hear Wham's Last Christmas, you're out. Well, I heard it yesterday.
Oh, so what'd you get? You got 7 days in.
Yeah, and it was at Coles.
Oh yeah,
and so you know, there you go. You can't really do much about it, right? When you're pushing a trolley around the aisles.
I don't think I've ever met anyone who's made it through Whamageddon through all of December without hearing the song.
But it wasn't the only thing that happened to me at Coles. I was sitting in the car park about to leave, and I hear this coming in next to me, right? And I look at the dude next to me. It's a P-plater in a pretty new-looking Jeep.
Oh.
And he has decked it out. He has pimped his ride. Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way. Now, I don't know. I don't know if I'd choose to do that to a Jeep. I don't know if they're the hardest looking cars you've ever driven. Mm. But he's got the fats on it and it's all. But it was a P-plater. And as I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, mate, you haven't lived. If your parents are getting you a car like that and you're pimping it. Because when we were kids in Beckenham, like, no one had a new car. Not even our parents had a new car. In fact, no one in the neighbourhood had a new car.
No.
I remember someone getting a... it was a big old Chrysler, and it was a new car, and the whole suburb knew about it.
Yep.
And what made this car special was that it had these two lights on either side of the bonnet that lit when the car thought that you were using too much petrol. It didn't even have automatic windows.
Wow. Anyway.
But we all, not me, but all of my mates souped up their cars, right? Hotted up their cars. But these cars were crap.
Well, because it's all we had. You just had to soup them up with whatever rubbish you were driving around in at the time. Yeah.
We had a Datsun 180B in a kind of poo yellow brown colour. Mm-hmm. My mate Graham Miller next door had a Chrysler Gallant that he was always tinkering with. And I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just adjusting the carburetor so I can get some more. Wait, right? And look at this kid at Coles in this. Like, the car must be worth, I don't know how much, $40,000? I don't know how you get that as
higher,
a P-plater.
I reckon, geez,
right?
yeah.
Want to go back in time. We want the worst car that you souped up. We want to hear the crappy things. You did. I know you did this.
Well, I was part of the Fast and the Furious generation.
Oh, of course you were.
So as me and me mates were getting our licenses... Out comes the Fast and the Furious with all of their hotted up cars and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, Tokyo drifting your Mitsubishi Sigma into the Hungry Jack's car park.
Well, it was a Mazda Estina.
Oh, even
it was a Mazda Estina.
It's pretty fancy.
Not bad.
What did you do to it?
I put the lights underneath it.
Oh.
So like
the lights. What were they? Blue lights?
Yeah, they were different colours. So they'd flash different colours. So I had a little RGB controller in the in the dash, and I could change it from blue to red to green, and they would pulsate. And then we would go cruising with our crap cars, but with our awesome Fast and the Furious lights through the carousel car park on a Thursday night while everybody was hanging out at Fast Eddie's and the old pub that used to be there and all that sort of stuff, just thinking we were the Ducks Nuts.
Oh, my God. My brother put fats on a Hillman Hunter. I mean, the car, when he got it, was a vintage car. I mean, it was so bad. We had to push start it.
I love it.
A friend of mine, what they did is, what's that thing called, you know, on the bonnet of the car?
It sort of has almost
like a tray, like a gap in the middle that you can look through it as if air comes out.
A scoop, to cool the engine,
right?
Yeah, so they couldn't afford scoops. So what they did is they took their mum's baking trays, roasting trays, and flipped them upside down, cut one edge out of the end. Like cut one end out and flipped them upside down and built them into the bonnet and then painted them the same colour as the car.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, if you want to soup up a car, mum's baking tray.
Take that, new Jeep. Sandro's in Hilbert. Good morning, mate. How'd you soup up the car?
Well, back in the day, we used to take the air filter off the car and just to change the note in the exhaust.
Oh, I mean, what kind of car are we talking here, Sandro?
It was a 83 Nissan Pulsar.
Oh, fantastic. As in this.
Having my mum's car is good too because there's so much shit you can do with it.
The Pulsar 6 is hotted up.
Yeah, we hotted it up.
All the boys done it.
It's got a spoiler on it.
Spoiler's sick.
Yeah. You got a spotty on the top. Yeah, but Maney's is pretty fun. Just drive up and down the main street.
There you go, Sandro. You and your mates back in the day.
In the Pulsar. Bless you, bud.
I love it just to change the note in the exhaust.
Ebony and Lita, good morning. Your boyfriend's car.
It was, yeah, at the time.
Oh, what did he do to soup it up, Ebony?
Well, I think it was about an 86 Nissan Bluebird.
Uh-huh.
It was, at any one time, it could be up to 12 different colours, depending on which panel had been replaced at
that
time.
That's right, yes.
Right.
It had first, third and fifth gear only.
Yes.
And it was worth about $500, I think, and there was about $2,500 worth of stereo and subwoofer set in it.
That's what I'm talking about.
But did the stereo come out of the car? Remember that when they brought in the stereo that you could pop out the front of?
Right. Yeah.
Take it in your bag so no one would nick your stereo. Yeah. No one would nick my 1984 Toyota Corolla stereo.
Naomi in Lansdale, what about you?
Hey, I had a 1981 cream-coloured Mitsubishi Sigma that you just mentioned before. I had the black spray-painted lights to make them look tinted.
Oh, yeah.
I used to go frequent the wreckers quite a lot to find any parts that would fit the car to make it look cool.
Oh, brilliant.
And fit them myself.
Oh, so well done.
Didn't look very good, but... then I got in trouble for trying to drift it, and I thought, oh, I'll get done for dangerous driving. No, I got done for noise pollution because the car was revving that badly.
You needed to speak to Sandro and change the tone of your exhaust.
No, in 2008 or 2009, I think, I came back from Canada. I'd been living overseas and I didn't have a car. And my dad goes, you can use my spare car. Gives me the banana yellow Mitsubishi Sigma. It was a 1986, the sports model. So it had sports stickers on the sides and the black plastic louvers on the back and a little spoiler. Oh. And my dad legitimately looked at me and said, you're going to turn heads at the lights with this baby. Pete,
Matt and Kimber. Can I just say thank God for subscription services? Because I don't know about you guys, but all of the, I'm going to call it good TV, is starting to wrap up now.
Yeah.
And we're left with the leftovers.
You mean like the free-to-air business?
The free-to-air business.
All of those big shows they pump out throughout the year, and now we've swapped it out for RBT and border security.
And mate, cricket.
It is pretty much that. Like, it is non-stop that throughout the entire thing. And it's insane watching it all come together as you sort of flick the TV on and you see the promos, and it's like, Santa knows if you've been good or bad. And on 7, mate, tonight, it's a marathon of bad boys as the Christmas coppers are on the case. At 6, it's Border Patrol, followed by Crossing the Line Australia, followed by Cops, followed by Crossing the Line New Zealand. And because you can't get enough of holiday hijinks, a replay of Crossing the Line Australia. And because we know you can't get enough of blokes speeding, we've got every fast bowler as we kick off our summer of cricket. Mate! Oh, my God.
All bookended by repeats of MASH.
Yeah. God, I miss MASH.
MASH still flies, man. I mean, honestly.
I would give anything for MASH right now.
Anytime I turn on the TV during the day, which isn't often.
What's really sad is that after you sold all these things like that, some people just turned off our show and went, yeah, I need the bloody TV back.
That was your Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for Vinny's Christmas Appeal, where good works. 94.5.